The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots.
Yes, thank you for tuning in. We are having some trying times. I know you guys are surprised to hear my voice. Yes, I am V from the Redfield Hardcore Radio Show, filling in for our late station owner. But of course, we are having a tribute show because we deeply love and miss John Stadtmiller. And to continue on the tradition at least one more time, we have Roger Landry here with us during his usual hour this week. Hello, Roger. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And boy, I got to tell you something. I really didn't think that you and I would be having a discussion like this even a couple of weeks ago. Some of the things that, and the discussions I've had with John over the last couple of weeks were surprising, and they stood out, and they make a little bit more sense right now, but you can never, ever replace something as valuable as John, because John blazed the path that I was on as well. John blazed it. I mean, John has been, he's been standing up to those he felt were imposing upon our civil rights and our liberties for 40 years. I've been doing it for 12 or 13. You know that. You and I have been partners for a while. So if you stop to consider the amount of time he had and the amount of effort he put in, the amount of respect for this guy is enormous. But the realization is that activism and patriotism took a hit.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to do my best to not do so much talking.
Okay.
I mean, the floor is yours. I'm just, I'm still reeling. I know last time we talked about John, last week, I got a bit choked up.
Just a wee bit.
And, I'm going to try my best not to do that on the air. If I have to blubber about things, I'm going to do it on the next hour when, right before John D joins us. So,
right.
Yes, we'll have Tom D on the second hour, but the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, I don't want the entire floor, and some of the questions will be directed at you for your opinion on certain things. But as far as me wanting to say some things about John, that goes without saying. I have, again, then running the Liberty Beacon Project globally for well over 10 years, close to 13 years, actually. And in that entire amount of time, there are only two individuals who actually took the time and the effort to seek Roger out, no matter where he was living in the country, because I did a lot of moving, and visit me and be able to shake my hand and look me in the eye and have a discussion on an actual human level without the internet as an intermediary or the telephone line. And this I immediately took to heart, because this showed me that he was very, very interested, as he had said prior to that trip, in doing things with the Liberty Beacon Project, namely TLB Talk, which was something John was very involved in. As a matter of fact, John got a script from us, which he asked for, and turned it into a very nice commercial, which he runs on the network on occasion for TLB Talk. And that to us was priceless. But not only that, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, John gave me a platform, and he constantly told me that I made the Wednesdays and that how much he appreciated I was here. And what he didn't understand is that it was every bit as valuable in the other direction. Okay, John has a reputation. People listen because it's no nonsense. People listen because you can pretty much trust what he has to say. He's done the research. John's not going to have somebody on his show week after week after week who's a total moron, and everything he says, as soon as it drops off of his tongue, it turns into a lie. It's not going to happen. So being asked week after week after week for well over a year to be on his show the same day, every week, the same hour, it was the ability to put information out to a platform that I didn't have to go and gather, that John had already done so. And he apparently felt that the message I had was valuable enough to get out. He knows the amount of time I spent on research, so on and so forth. But the thing of it is, John was a virtuoso when it came to playing his guests. Now, anybody who thinks I'm taking this in a negative direction, you couldn't be more wrong. John knew how to make you emotional. John knew when to ask the right question to shift the entire conversation or discussion over to something he felt needed to be focused on at that point in time. All of these things he did almost seamlessly. And after 30, 40 years, I would imagine, if you have half a brain, and John had a lot more than that, these things become second nature to you. So doing a show with John was doing a show with somebody who brought the best out in you. Whether or not you agreed with the way he was taking things or not, when you went back and listened to a show you did with John, it was played like a virtuoso. So I enjoyed doing shows with John. I didn't enjoy the topics, because we hardly ever talked about anything that was fun or neat or whatever. Another thing that I respected the hell out of John for is because when I was blowing my stack, which everybody who's ever listened to the shows I've done with John can tell you, if I'm angry, you're going to know I'm angry. It's not an act, but at the same time, there are a lot of hosts out there that would be constantly nudging you and saying, yeah, you don't have to be quite so dramatic. It's not being dramatic. It's being freaking real. When something as treasonous or something as cynical is happening, as is what is happening all around us today, and you can't get angry at it, you're an idiot. It's that simple. John knew that. John understood the truth. One of the last conversations I had with John was about that truth. But what I would like to ask you, V, is you obviously had some conversations with him. You obviously had some discussions with him. What role did he play in the formulation of V as a radio personality? What role did he play in I don't know, advising you and giving you information. How did you look at John? Because I know how I looked at him. But you guys had a totally different relationship. You were actually part of the crew, the network.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you this. It was something really surprising, heartwarming. It's just, it's a feeling. Okay, so during this, some time ago, I think during the summer, quite some years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I had some people scouting out some networks that I should probably be on. And, you know, it just didn't matter how perfect a match I found with other networks. It's just like, well, yeah, we'll call you back. Or, you know, something's going on. And it's like, okay, so I guess nobody's really interested. You know, I did pick up a couple of small, you know, community radio stations here and there. I still do. But when we found the RBN page, it's like, Republic Broadcasting Network. Yeah, okay, I'm pretty sure they like my material. Yeah, right. who am I, Republican V? And it's like, well, but, you know, we tried everybody. And then it's like, you know, after a couple weeks, few weeks, I think we got a message from Mossad Mike. And, you know, it's like, wow, we piqued the interest of RBN. I just want to see how this is going to play out. Okay, let's go through this. And, well, it got to a point, I think Mike was really busy. I can't speak for Mike, but my memory, I'm just going to say, Mike was really, really busy and didn't get to emails at a certain time. And John was not happy about that. And not throw Mike under the bus, especially in this episode. But I think, and John got to me personally because, you know, we were adamant about getting in contact with each other. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at pictures of this guy, of John, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got a history with these kind of guys and the way that they look at me, the way they sort of, you know, I'm profiling at this point. As an African-American, something I've learned and something I was forced to learn was reverse profiling. You know, who's going to give me a hard time? Who's not going to give me a hard time? I want to keep my head low, you know, just to get through the day. So, I'm reverse sort of profiling, and the guy is just, I remember his first question to me. He says, "You're not some kind of pinky, commie pinko, are you?" I laughed.
I
said,
gotta,
"No, sir."
I got to tell you something. The first time I ever had a conversation with him, he got a hold of me to do his show. And this came pretty much out of the blue, and this is before TLV talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to this guy for a few minutes, and then it hits me. This is me with a Texas accent. I swear to God, you know, I could just about finish his sentences. I could. And it really felt good to talk to somebody who actually understood what made you angry.
Yeah.
It does. It feels good to know there's somebody out there. And they're looking at you going, "Oh, yeah, not only do I understand, but it pisses me off, too." Okay.
Well, my follow-up to go with what you just said. So we had a very long discussion. I think we were on the phone for like an hour and a half. We're just talking and laughing with each other. And just, it was wonderful. I'm thinking to myself, And very early in the conversation, I had to tell him, you know, I'm a black guy. I'm like a general. I'm a general in the Black Panther Party. At the time, I was. General in the Black Panther Party. It's like, well, okay, so what? And I'm just thinking to myself, and you are the owner of the Republic Broadcasting Network, right? But yeah, so okay. But we had so much in common. And by the end of that phone call, I said, you know, you kind of remind me of my mentor. You kind of remind me of a guy who's been supporting me for a very long time, my father figure of mine. In fact, I said, I got to get you two together in a room. And I would love to listen to the conversation. He said, you know what, just wait till you get your show on a network, let's become comfortable, and you can tell me all about your friend.
Okay, all right, and your friend is?
You, I was speaking about you.
I know, and I told you out of the blue, I get, you know, a hookup with John, and anyway, what I want to do is shift just a little bit and discuss something about John that maybe a lot of people didn't understand. And that is, John was 100% into, we have to do something, to the point where John was involved in the militias in the 1990s. Okay. He's told us all stories about being visited by the FBI, about having discussions with FBI agents out on the street, ones that we're following, and so on and so forth. We know all of this. We understand it. We understand that John was a person who really felt that things needed to be done. Listening to my show, and this is what he said to me, listening to my show is great, but if it's entertainment to you, that isn't. Because it's not intended to be entertainment. It's intended to be informative. Now, those weren't his exact words, but this was the gist of what he was saying to me. John just had a way of saying things that was a little bit more eloquent sometimes, and when it needed to be as sharp as a razor, it could be. But these are the things that really meant something to John. Is what I'm doing serving a purpose? Is what I'm doing serving a purpose? And a little bit later on in the conversation, I don't want to do it now because it pretty much sets the stage for everything that's going to go after it, and I don't want that to happen yet, but I will discuss with you, V, because you haven't heard it either, my last discussion with John. And that, my friends, is very heart-opening and a little bit scary. But is there anything you would like to interject at this point about the professionalism? Because that's where I'd like to go next, the professionalism of John.
Well, I was totally shocked that I was going to be brought on to RBN, especially with the conservative aspect of the network. It actually, just talking to him, it kind of, it's that professionalism, that open-mindedness that allowed us to connect, because with my preconceived notions, and if he had preconceived notions, we wouldn't have made any connection.
No. No. And you'd be telling me what a big a-hole he was right now instead of what a great guy he was. Yes.
Right. So I was just, it was heartwarming. I was very surprised. And, you know, when I heard him rant about racism and the evils of it, and I'm looking at this guy. Once again, I'll pull up a picture every now and again. I'm just seeing, you know, he a very handsome man. Superhero jawline, you know, the pointed nose, you know, he's like what Hitler wished he could look like, you know, and so when you put that into perspective, he's ranting about anti-racism, and I've actually told him some things that my father had said, you know, about the way, you know, things, the way he had to grow up and the way I should look at older white males. He's like, that's total garbage. And he actually proved to me, as a legacy of John's, he actually showed me 100% that it doesn't matter race, color, creed, belief, we can all work together, love
each
other, and live in harmony.
You know what else he showed you? Okay? It doesn't matter.
You showed me that too, by the way.
Okay, but listen, this is something else John showed you.
All right. Okay?
That no matter how bad things got, no matter how good things were, no matter how difficult things were going round and around and around, when you pissed him off, he was all over you like stink on crap.
Oh, yeah.
I know this to be true. And was he fair? Yes. Because if John jumped in your case and it was found out that you, in fact, were not guilty, John was the first one to say, I'm sorry. Which absolutely added to the character of the gentleman.
You're absolutely right. And just yes. To add to that very quickly, very quickly. Very quickly. Because when he actually finally got a hold of me. It's like, why aren't you called? Why aren't you called? It's been 3 weeks, and it's been so many weeks, and don't have your emails. It's like, yes, I did. He said, Oh, he's looking at the emails right now. Oh, I'm supposed to be yelling at someone else. I'm totally sorry. I will talk to you later.
I that doesn't surprise me, okay? It's not a matter of when you were talking with John, you knew that what John was telling you, he was actually thinking about before it came out of his mouth. Today, far too many people are so reactionary. It's insane. If something happens, they react to it. They don't think about it. They don't formulate a response and then allow it to form on their lips. No, they react to it and things spill out of their mouth. John was one of those people where he didn't speak as fast as most Northerners do. And it wasn't because he was a Southerner, because John came from the northern part of the country. But if John spoke just a little slower than the average Northerner, it was because he was thinking about what he was going to say. And a lot of times I would sit there and start drumming my fingers while it took John to say 30 seconds what you and I could say in 10. But at the end of that 30 seconds, let me explain something to you. Not only do I have the comment John wanted to deliver to me, but because of the length of it, the little pauses and the little sighs he threw in between it, I got as much out of the way John delivered that information as the information John gave me.
Absolutely. Delivery is everything. Yes. Especially this business.
Especially if you've been in radio for almost 40 years, delivery is everything. And if you don't think he didn't eat, sleep, and breathe it, he did.
Absolutely. Grade A professional. He liked to wow me with all the people that he's met in the past and people he's actually brought into the industry.
Where was John on December 6th? January 6th. My mistake. January 6th. Where was John?
Where was John?
During the riots in Washington, D.C., the quote-unquote riots, the protest, where was John when this happened?
Oh, well, tell us.
John was in Washington, D.C. when that happened. John was there. John is one of those individuals who, again, let's go back to the point where John will put his money where his mouth is. If he's telling you that this is making him angry and someone needs to step up and do something, the next thing I hear is I call John and he answers and I said, where are you? He says, I'm on my way to Washington. He lives in Texas. You what? I'm on my way to Washington. And I knew exactly why and what.
Yeah.
Yes.
You would think he had a phone booth that he could change in really quickly.
Okay. I'm not telling you the man's perfect, all right? None of us are perfect. What I will tell you is you gauge a man or a woman after they have departed us, their friends, their family, and everybody else who doesn't count. You gauge these individuals not so much by the times they have made you angry or by the times they have disappointed you, but what leaves the longest and the most lasting effect is how many times, believe it or not, think about it, how many times they made you laugh, how many times they made you smile. These are the things you will remember much, much longer. Why? Because they please you. And as a self, you know, a protective mechanism, things that the mind doesn't need to have and are of very little consequence and ain't fun to think about are usually cast to the bottom of the box. And when you need those, you need to go digging for them. But if you think of John, if I think of John right now, and I'm quite sure if you think of John right now, it's something good. It's not something bad. It's something he said that made you chuckle. It's something he said that was so obvious and so stupid that you absolutely had to laugh.
Well, okay.
See?
Just thinking
right
of
like
that. Just thinking of that. Mike, if you are... I gotta get rid of these subtitles so I can see what you're typing out there, Mike. Mike, how many times did he message you? He was saying like, "What the hell is V talking about? What's V's point? Where's he going with this?"
I mean, yeah, he had the occasional comment about you. You know, maybe possibly a little more than most of the other hosts. I mean, you were on my shift, so I would. He'd probably address those to me, and you know, every now and then, yeah, he's like, "What's V up to, or what's V doing?" But it wasn't that often. I know early on when I was chatting, and we were, you know, in communication through Facebook. I think that's, you know, it took a while to kind of sort all that out. You kind of went over that, and I don't remember the details, but feel free to throw me under the bus. John always had a good time doing that. You know, that's one of his endearing qualities. He loved me. He showed me a lot of love, but he loved to act like he was throwing me under the bus on air every now and then. And you know, it's hard keeping all the plates spinning around here.
Look,
so
this guy asked questions about what the hell I was talking about when I was on his show.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute, what's Roger talking
about?
Yeah,
he'll tell you. He'll ask you right to your face,
about.
That's for sure.
Yeah. What's Roger screaming about right
now? Oh, and
now?
I was asking y'all just as a production technicality, if y'all, I don't know if y'all want to just skip all the breaks here, but I did want to make a short announcement about the... Well, I'll just say right now, just as far as donations go, please, people, we're still accepting the PayPal donations, and we will have access to that, and we will work with that until further notice, and that's all posted at RBN on the main page. Any checks, money orders made out to RBN or Republic Broadcasting, those need to be held, or you can call us here at the office, the 800-724-2719 extension 3 number. Please talk to someone in person, and if you need some special arrangements made, we can do that. Other than that, if people want to send in cash or blank money orders, those are the best other options beside PayPal at the time. And you know, it's looking pretty good for this week, hopefully, and we will need a lot of assistance coming up. So please contact us. If you have a recurring monthly donation, if you have it, we can't take credit cards right now either. We're not going to take credit cards over the phone. So like I said, if you need any of that other than just going to our PayPal account and going directly through our website or directly to our PayPal, if you have our username, just give us a call, 800-724-2719, extension 3. And somebody's here 7 a.m. to midnight pretty much 7 days a week. So.
Hold on 1 second. If they use PayPal, because I know if they're on TLB Talk and they go to the PayPal window, they have the option of using a credit or a debit card.
Yes,
at
yes.
At the PayPal yeah. window.
Most people are doing that. You do not have to have a PayPal account. If you do not, well, right. A lot of people do not want to put their information on the internet.
Right.
So, in that case, you need to contact us. Either email us or send us, you know, just send us something through the contact form, send an email. You can send it to john@republicbroadcasting.org. That wasn't really a thing, but I've set that up where it comes through us and it would go to John's Hotmail account. So you can use that, but mainly just give us a call, contact us somehow, some way, get a response. We'll work with people if they just do not want to go through PayPal at all. And if you want to send someone specifically a check or a money order, we can arrange that so that one of us that has that authority can get that deposited, cashed, and distributed for all of these network. We've got a lot of things coming up. I mean, there's going to be bills. There's going to be payroll for us. You know, we're here 9 to 10 hours, and Sam's here 3-4 hours on the weekend or something crazy. So, you know, we got to get compensated for that, and we appreciate everybody's help. So I think that's most of the details. I've put a little note in the end of our usual promo spot so people can hear that, and I believe I got the phone number in there. So just give us a call, and if you can send in cash or, like I said, blank money order, that should work fine.
We will be publishing the Liberty Beacon. I will be writing an article, and we will be publishing this hour tomorrow, as we usually do every week. So all you have just said, my friend, will go back out to our audience as well tomorrow. And we will continue to promote RBN going forward, as we always have. The icons that go directly from all of our news websites straight back to your website will stay there. They're not going anywhere. So we do appreciate what you just said. And like I said, you will have a bigger audience tomorrow, or a further audience tomorrow, when I publish the article for this show here.
Thanks, Roger.
Okay, yes. We really need to make sure that John... See, John has multiple legacies. That's what I love about not just John, but all of my mentors. I mean, John is a person who's leaving behind not just one legacy, but many. As many people as he's touched. I know I've learned much from John. And the world still has much to learn from John. I mean, we're all his children. We all need to stay together and make sure that the station continues on. So please, please come through with the donations.
I have already started going through the history of shows that I have done with John on Wednesdays, like I said, for over a year. I know there's over 50 shows I've done with John. So I've already started going through them, because the amount of information and the type of information that's available in these discussions, always, when I left these discussions with John, I always left with a big smile on my face. Or if I went in with a heavy heart, I came out with a light heart. For the very simple reason that, again, he was so good at draining information from you, whether he even knew what the information was or not, he just knew that you weren't done yet, and he had to keep pushing his buttons, which he did. And you will hear me say on the shows I do with John over and over again, you know, John, you always say the right thing to get me either riled or to get me talking about a specific topic that you wish me to talk about. I would tell him this over and over again, and he would just agree with me. He wouldn't push back, not even in the slightest. He's like, yep, I do that. And he did. So having a discussion with John brought two things into the picture. It brought professionalism, and it brought somebody who was equally involved, somebody who had some skin in the game. Somebody who wasn't afraid to stick his neck out a little bit. And I've got to tell you something, with the COVID-19 issue, with the vaccine issue, if you discuss all of these things with John what you will find out is that the last couple of months of John's life, John, and here's where we get into the last conversation I had with John. And I'm not saying the last time I talked to him. I'm saying the last conversation I had with John. John had not been feeling well since he got back from Michigan. And he called me up when he got back from Michigan and told me that he literally had to go soak in a tub of steaming hot water for hours, the hottest water he could tolerate, just to get his body into at a level that he could tolerate it. And this kept going and got progressively worse. I'm not going to go into, because I don't think it's worth it, not tonight, maybe some other time, what the actual mechanism was or anything like that. Suffice it to say that I think John knew a little bit more when I was talking to him about his immediate future than he was willing to discuss. What John told me, and again, this was a man who had nothing but good intentions and hope for so many years, and he spread it to so many of us. But his last words to me were, "I don't think there's anything we can do anymore. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that a vast majority of us are going to get out of this alive. Why am I still doing this?" Now, in John's defense, let me explain something to you. One, he's sick. Two, he's in a position for over a week where he couldn't get up and do a show, where he couldn't make his voice heard, where he felt like he was useless. Do I blame a lot of that and how he was feeling on this type of a discussion with John? Yes, I do. But hearing this from John 2.5 days before he passes away, hearing John telling me that he doesn't believe enough people are going to step up to save enough of humanity where those of us who are left are anything but slaves. Now, I'm not giving you exactly word for word, but this is what John said to me. John was more worried about everybody on this planet in his last couple of days than he was about himself, because in that entire conversation, which lasted almost 25 minutes, the total amount that focused on John by John was less than 30 seconds out of that entire discussion. And this is how that discussion ended, and this is what caused me even more concern for John. He said, "Roger, you're the only person that I could call and have this discussion with. There is nobody else. There's nobody else that would understand this at the depth you will. What do you think of what I had to say?" And I told John the truth. I said, 98% of what you just told me, I agree with wholeheartedly. And he said, "And the other 2%? I said, "I am not at this point as negative as you are on our possibilities and the outcome." And that ticked John off to the point where he hung up. Now, again, in John's defense, I know how he's feeling, blah, blah. He hasn't been able to do his show. He's been locked in his room. He's in and out of the tub just to try and maintain some level of comfort. But at the same time, remember everything John knew. Remember everything John went through. And remember, John was aware that this could possibly happen to him. And I'm talking about physically what did happen to him. And no, I'm not going to go into it. But John was aware that this could happen to him. The conversation I had with John was stark. And it was reality. And it showed me beyond a shadow of a doubt that the one thing that concerned John more than anything else, even though he, in my mind, had a real good idea that he didn't have long to live, what was clear in my mind was that John was more worried about every one of you listening to what I'm saying than he was about himself. And that's what was making John angry. John called me in the angriest mood I've ever heard him in, because he's afraid Not enough of you are going to step up to save what can still be saved. And that was my last conversation with John. And your feelings on that, V?
Well, when...
A little deep, I know.
When you're... John is a true general. It was true general on the battlefield, okay? Unfortunately, when you're a general, you get wounded on the battlefield. You still have that same...
The same drive.
Father. Yeah, yep. that fatherly, that leader presence. You're not worried about your own life. You're worried about your men on the field.
Absolutely. Nook, you hit that nail right on the head, and that's good. But again, what I want everybody to understand here is that he specifically called me to have a discussion, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm trying to get everybody to understand something. To have a discussion that he felt he couldn't have with anybody else. Why? If you've listened to any of the shows I've done with John, we cover the things that most people don't even want to talk about, and we cover them in a fashion that gives them credibility. We even offer sources on the website. So what we're looking at is something that John feared had already taken a grip on the planet to the point where things may be inevitable. My biggest problem is I don't believe that. John has spent a lot of time, or had spent a lot of time in media, much longer than me, three times longer than me. But I spent the same amount of time he was in the media, I spent working for the military-industrial complex, traveling around the world, seeing what reality is. Well, guess what? When I had too much reality, I walked away from the military-industrial complex and started the Liberty Beacon Project. So what we're looking at here is two gentlemen who absolutely don't think the same way, but yet we come to the same conclusions. I agreed with 98% of what John said. The only thing I don't agree with is that there is no place left in the garage to park our car, that this is the end of the road, that humanity might as well just give in because there's nothing we can do. I need to explain something to you. If they kill half of us off, and that's a possibility, there's still 4 billion of us. If they kill 3/4 of us off, there's still 2 billion of us. Anybody out there want to know how many of them there are? I'm not here to argue whether or not we're going to beat the elites. What I'm trying to impress upon you is an individual who feared for each and every one of you on a real, seeable, true level. John was totally unselfish in his dedication to making sure people knew as much as he could be responsible for getting them to. And that's why he had me on his show. I'm not prettier than anybody else. Hell, I'm ugly as sin. I don't have this soothing voice. I'd rather scream at you if you're an idiot than purr at you. John called me on his show because he knew I did the research and had the background to give answers that could be trusted. John and I had a relationship because of that very reason. John was one of the two people in 13 years that actually drove up to shake my hand, look me in the eye, and have a discussion. I'll never forget that.
Well, that is absolutely something special. As soon as they lift these... COVID passport restrictions, you're going to have one that'll fly across the world to do that.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm just, I can't compare on the level of, you know, you guys. I myself.
You're half our age. Half our age, okay? Let's start with that.
Well, I'm starting to feel old. 37 here, and
yeah, 67 here, and John was 70.
Yes. Well, but again, what I'm trying to say is, I just, you know, different generation, different everything. I have
agreed.
There have been countless attempts by the elites to recruit me, because I walked away from the DoD as well. And I said, screw you guys. And I had endless, like a decade of harassment of, we didn't know you were this smart. We didn't know this. We want you to come back and work for us. We want you to, endless harassment to the point it got to the point of, okay, you don't want to work for us, then you need to die. And I got put on a self-execution program, which I was about whistleblow about all the time. You guys know my MO. But thing is, I think the reason why they want to recruit me so badly was because they say, oh, I know how it is. I know what it's like to be the cream to at the top. I know what it's like to think everyone you talk to is marginally retarded. There's like, you know,
it's more than marginal.
Far superior, and you need to come work for us. You're not one of them. And I'm an antisocial guy. I don't know. I think I'm on the spectrum. I've always been antisocial. I've always been the guy that would rather watch a social interaction instead of being a part of it. But it's through my very own persecution, I could not have sustained my war against these elites just because they've slighted me, just because they've spilled familial blood, just because they've tried to get me down in every way, shape possible. I still would not have been able to sustain if it weren't for people like yourself, and ultimately people like John, who did have that positivity. I grabbed a lot of my humanity from people like you guys.
Okay, first off,
you're my pillars of strength.
Everybody here needs to understand a couple of things. First off, you hear V talking like he's part of the Liberty Beacon Project, when in fact he is a part of the Liberty Beacon Project. For anybody who doesn't know that, I'm sure most of the people who listen to him on a regular basis are aware of this. And he is also a part of TLB Talk by virtue of being a part of the Liberty Beacon Project. As a matter of fact, he's a very active part of making TLB Talk even more successful as we speak. V is one of these people who has the ability to focus on multiple things and get things accomplished. These are the things that John liked. It wasn't so much the sharpness of your politics. It wasn't so much how adamant you were about certain things at certain times. It was, in John's eyes, okay, how do you present yourself? How do people perceive you? And I would tell John over and over again, you know, I'm going to come on and terrorize your audience. He would say, Roger, if you were terrorizing me, my audience, you wouldn't be here. So again, it's a matter of having the wisdom to plug the right things into the right place. John had this. Now, I want to discuss the difference between wisdom and intelligence. Because if I had to pick between a wise man and an intelligent man, I would rather spend my time with the wise man. Because wisdom is defined as having made a million mistakes or having had a million experiences and living and learning at least one lesson from each of them. That's cumulative. That is wisdom. That is something you can use to balance everything going forward off of in an accurate fashion. Intelligence simply means you read a paragraph an hour ago and you could probably recite it almost word for word right now and even tell me what it's about. But what type of experience do you have? How many mistakes have you made and learned lessons from? How many lessons have you made over the course of your short life. John was 70 years old. John worked in the militias. John worked in the media. John did this. John did that. He lived up north. He lived down south. John contained 70 years of wisdom, which he padded very well with knowledge, and with wisdom and knowledge, what you end up with is understanding. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, B. Doesn't the word understanding fit John pretty well in the aspect you and I were familiar with him on?
I would say he was overstanding.
Overstanding. Okay. Or standing over?
I got Correct. It.
All right. And again, I don't want anybody taking away from this show, and it's hard to believe no commercials and we've just about filled up an hour. We've got 50 minutes into this. I don't want anybody taking away from this that my final conversations with John were bad. They weren't. What they did was they gave me a window into John's soul. I got to understand exactly what was going through his mind. When you are in the frame of mind John was in, when he called me 2.5 days before he passed away, when he called me in this frame of mind, when he called me pretty much believing that humanity may be lost, when he called me in this frame of mind, it did two things. One, it showed me exactly where John's soul was and the passion he had for trying to make sure these things didn't happen. And the second thing it showed me is John trusted me enough to have a conversation that with probably just about anybody else, they would have said he was crazy. I not only knew he wasn't crazy, but, and John didn't know this, I had tears running down my face.
Well, I mean, that's kind of where I was going to with my point, is that I myself, I would like to save the best of us.
Yes.
John wants to save everybody.
Yes.
And the sheer weight of that would seem to be...
Well, that's impossible.
Impossible.
Well, it's impossible for several reasons. And again, I won't go into this deeply, but I will touch on it. Anybody who has been vaccinated and those who live in close quarters with multiple vaccinated individuals may think totally different over the course of the next 6 months to 6 years. If any of these doctors screaming bloody murder, and believe me, John believed this wholeheartedly, if any of these doctors, 78, it's over 8,000 now, global experts screaming that humanity is being shot up with a bioweapon, which is exactly why they're forcing so many people to take it that shouldn't be taking it.
Mm-hmm.
We got Tom hanging out here. He definitely wanted to check in with you, Roger, before you have to leave. So you want to?
I got about 8 minutes. I'd love to bring Tom in, please.
There he is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was trying to get in, but you guys were yakking, so I didn't want to you on a roll. I didn't want to interrupt you. So,
how do you shut up someone like me and B?
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I was listening to you guys, and even though John may have had 70 years of wisdom, he died at 68, so he died too young. And this is, you know, and we still don't really know what the hell happened, so we're still waiting on that. But, you know, I have to agree with everything you said, and, you know, I'm just so glad that he got to go see his, you know, go see his family. You know, I talked to him the night before. I was on the phone with him Thursday night, and yeah, he sounded he didn't sound as bad as he had over the last, because I was calling him every night to make sure that, as I said, he was still purring, because one of his kitty cats, who was the kitty cat's name was Tommy. He came home one day and found him on the carpet, and I said, I don't want to come over there and find you on the carpet like Tommy. And so I called him up. I said, you're still purring, right? And and he would he would chuckle. But, you know, before he went, you know, he was saying that you know, if I don't go now, if I don't go up north and see them, I'm never going to get up there. And I don't know yep. whether he knew something was wrong or he just, or it was just that he had to go. But I was glad he did, because I talked to him up there every day when he was at his sister's houses, and he just sounded happy as a clam.
I mean, didn't he?
Really, really, yeah, he was really happy. And,
yes.
At least he got to do that. And, you know,
so
I got to.
Are you going to hang around? Are you going to hang around for the next hour? Because I got to go in 4 minutes, and somebody has to hold Lee's hand.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say hi to you before you got off the. I knew you probably couldn't stay on 2 hours, so.
No, I can't.
But, you know.
Well, yep. Tom, and, Tom, hold on for us, because we are going to get with you on the other side of the break here. And I just want to make sure that, Roger, are you satisfied with what you said? You got a few more words for the audience?
Asking Roger Landry if he has a few more words. Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. Yeah, okay. Listen to me. If you want to talk about things people aren't letting you talk about, and John would have told you this flat out, what we would like you to do is go to tlbtalk.com and bring your friends there. You want to talk about vaccines, talk about vaccines. You want to talk about tyranny, talk about tyranny. You want to talk about critical race theory, talk about critical race theory. The point here is First Amendment is First Amendment is First Amendment. What is being done by private corporations to keep you from saying things or to keep you from knowing things are a disaster that we have allowed for so long it has been institutionalized. As John would say, let's wake up and do something before there's no time to do anything.
Absolutely. Yes. Beautifully said. It's still being a young guy, relatively young. These things take a little bit more time. You old cats, when you hear this kind of stuff,
you keep using that word, you're going to die.
for you guys it sinks in a lot quicker. For me, yeah. I think I'm still processing it a bit. So
it's not the first disaster we've had. It when you reach 67 years old, there have been a few in your life.
Right.
There have. Right, okay. Right. Again, that's part of what I term wisdom.
Right. And for those of you out there, you already know what I say about it. You got to have, you know, the enemy won't win because all they have is intelligence. What we have is intelligence, wisdom, and common sense. These are the three pillars. This is your third eye. So you got to do what you got to do. You got to be a part of the fight. You got to be a part of humanity. This is what John would have wanted. And I do.
This is what John's going to get.
Exactly. And we made it just to the music, so we'll be back on the other side of that with Tom D. So stay tuned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, Roger.
Yeah, you guys take care.
All right. Bye-bye. And send it abroad.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.